As many of you know, I was in retreat last week at St. Joseph Abbey near Covington, and Luke can actually attest to that. We had lunch together as he was finishing up his exams on Wednesday. And I was thinking about something that I saw in front of the monastery and kind of connecting that to today being Gaudete Sunday. At the entranceway into the monastery, as you're going to the area where the guests come in, and the foyer area of the monastery, there's a tile in front of the door that says St. Joseph Abbey and the date of its construction. It says 1908. That was when the present monastery was built, but the seminary itself came into existence in the late 1800s when Archbishop Jansons of New Orleans invited monks from St. Meinrad's Abbey in Indiana to come and found a seminary to educate native priests for his archdiocese, which at that time included what is now the Diocese of Lafayette. They first bought a little plot of land in Ponchatoula and built their first priory and their seminary there. It's a small place. Then moved to the present location where there was more land to be able to expand. Well, after their hard labors in the early 1900s, a fire broke out and burned the monastery and its seminary to the ground. And so the monks were standing there looking at the burning embers of the hard work of their hands, and the question was, what do we do now? One of them suggested that they just give up the enterprise, go back to Indiana, and live their monastic life. But the oldest member of the community said, no, we're young, we can rebuild. And so they did. So 100 years later, over 100 years later, they've grown and expanded now to have a place that educates future priests, a retreat center, and so many other activities and services that the monastery provides. Because one monk said, we are young, we can rebuild. And so they did, educating seminarians and future priests not only for our diocese or Louisiana, but several throughout the Gulf South. What that one monk represents, though, is true Christian perseverance. It's a joy that we have, even in the midst of adversity, that gives us optimism, hope, and perseverance. We can rebuild, he said. This is the same kind of faith that drove the martyrs to be able to die for Christ and do so willingly because they realized that something greater would lie ahead. The same thing with all the saints who, in the midst of the adversities of their own lives, would still persevere. Why? Because of their love for God. Again, the true sign of the Christian person who is filled with the Spirit of Christ is simply that, a joy that leads to optimism, hope, and perseverance. It's not something that some people say about catching the Holy Ghost and running around speaking in tongues, as important as that may be to some, but it's something that's far deeper than that. It is a silent power, a silent love that transforms the human person into the image and likeness of God, or to reform us since we lost that image by sin. We know that the Christian faith rests on two important doctrines, the most important and essential of our faith. Number one is the Trinity. There is one God and three divine persons, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the love exchange between the Father and the Son poured out on you and me to draw us into the life of the Trinity. The second truth is the incarnation, that is, the coming into the flesh of the second person of the Trinity, Christ himself, the Word who became flesh so that he becomes like us in all things but sin, so that you and I can become like Christ, we can become like the Lord himself. To be without sin, to live a life of holiness, again united to God in the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. This begins for all of us in baptism. As St. Paul reminds us, all of us who are baptized into Christ's death, and with Christ we rise to a new existence. We become a new man, a new woman. Sin is removed, we know that, but that sin is also replaced by something. It's replaced by sanctifying grace, the grace that makes us holy and like Christ, but also gives us three important gifts, the gifts of faith, hope, and love, to believe in God, to hope in God, and to love as God loves. It transforms us into Christ as the Holy Spirit, by that grace and those gifts, draws us into the life of the Trinity. At baptism, every Christian also gets his or her vocation. How am I going to serve God later on? Either in single life, married life, priesthood, religious life, whatever it may be, that vocation is planted there. Later on, we receive the sacrament of confirmation, receiving the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There we've grown in our faith. We've grown in that love and that hope. We discover our vocation. and we begin to live the life of Christ in our lives here on earth. It goes back to what Isaiah said, "The Spirit of the Lord is indeed upon me, as it was on Christ." The Spirit gives us gifts that make Christ the Messiah, that make us, as members of the body of Christ, His representatives here on earth. We receive the gifts of wisdom and understanding, the gifts of counsel and strength, knowledge, and profound reverence. Wisdom to know the difference between good and evil, understanding that we're to choose the good and to reject the evil, the counsel to know God's will and the strength to do it, knowledge of who we are and who God is and our relationship to Him, and to have a deep and profound reverence because of that. Filled with these gifts, St. Paul says, now we begin to produce the fruits. So how do you know a Christian? The crosses we wear? The clothes that we have that have some kind of an emblem or logo just because we say so? It's the life that we live. As St. Paul says in Galatians, the Spirit brings love. That's number one. We love God, we love neighbor. Not always an easy thing to do, but the Spirit enables us to do it. With that love, we have joy. Even in the face of adversity, we can still smile because we realize whatever difficulty we go through, something greater lies ahead. The cross does not end on Calvary. It leads to the empty tomb. With that, we have a peace because God is God and we are not. And God can do the things that we cannot do. And He loves us. With that, we have patience, knowing that all things happen in God's time. And because we are filled with love and joy and peace and patience, we are people of kindness, goodness, trustfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Like Christ, we are kind to one another. We are truly good people, as the Holy Spirit makes us so. We are trustworthy and gentle. We can control our thoughts, our actions, our passions. And St. Paul would say, we cannot say that we belong to Christ unless we crucify our self-indulgent passions and do our own thing and those desires that draw us away from God and replace them with a passion and desire for Christ. A passion to love Him, a passion to serve Him, a passion to be free of sin. Since the Spirit is our life, St. Paul says, we must be directed by the Spirit. Live the life of a spiritual person. Not being conceited or arrogant. Not by being provocative, that means being a troublemaker, as some can do. Not to be jealous or envious. But like Christ, being humble, self-effacing, good-hearted, generous, and kind. As Paul says, if one sows in the field of the Spirit, he will get from it a harvest of eternal life. So, my brothers and sisters, following the words of St. Paul in today's Mass, rejoice. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing in every circumstance, good or seemingly bad. Always give thanks. This is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit's work in you, but rather retain what is good and refrain from every kind of evil. As Isaiah says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and upon me. The Lord has anointed us to be something great, to bring that message of rejoicing to the world. And we rejoice heartily in the Lord because He is the God of our souls, the joy of our souls. Like a bride being given to her husband, He wraps us up in a robe of salvation, a mantle of justice, adorned with a crown, bedecked with jewels. The Lord makes goodness spring up within us for all the nations. So may the God of peace make you perfectly holy. May you entirely, in spirit, in soul, and body, be preserved blameless for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls us is faithful, and He will accomplish all these good things in you, through you, and for you.